Live from the Dankosky building, I'm Kyone Wolf, working on a Jill Sobule type song about a lost glamorous 60s icon and a medication and a modern annoyance. Barbara Feldon and Ambien and Twitter, Leslie Uggams and Flomax and GPS, oh, Yvonne DiCarlo and Lexapro and Hulu. Today's birthday, best of my life. It's harder than it looks. Fortunately, Jill Sobule herself is right here in our studios. Except no substitute. If you've never heard her before, you're in for a treat, but where have you been? And now, I bet he thinks the guy who doesn't get it is all about him. He's so vain. Colin McEnroe. Best
of my life. It is about me. The first time I ever heard he's the guy who doesn't get it, I knew that was written about me. And now I haven't brought it up. I think it would be indecorous. But Jill Sobule is here. She's in studio with us. She will be tonight at the Outer Space in Hamden. And so you should run there. If you start running right now, you'll probably get there, almost no matter where you're leaving from. Jill Sobule, it's so exciting to have you here.
Hello.
I think the best thing to do is, since you're sitting there with a guitar, just to loosen up and warm up and maybe just do a song, and then we'll talk.
I'm going to do
a song. Does that seem reasonable?
I'm going to do a song.
All right.
And here's a song, actually, I think you asked for.
Okay, this is a request.
Why are all our heroes so imperfect? Why do they always bring me down? Why are all our heroes so imperfect? Statue in the park has lost his crown. William Faulkner, drunk and depressed. Dorothy Parker, mean, drunk and depressed. And that guy 7 years in Tibet turned out to be a Nazi. Founding fathers all had slaves. The explorer slaughtered the braves. The Old Testament God can be so petty. Paul McCartney, jealous of John, even more so now that he's gone. Dylan was so mean to Donovan in that movie. Pablo Picasso, cruel to his wives, but favorite poets took their own lives. Orson Welles peaked at 25, ballooned before our eyes. And he sold bad wine. Why are all our heroes so imperfect? Why do they always bring me down? Heard Babe Ruth was full of malice. Lewis Carroll, I'm sure, did Alice. Plato in the cave with those very young boys. T.S. Eliot hated the Jews. FDR did save the Jews. All the French joined the resistance after the war. William Faulkner, drunk and depressed. Dorothy Parker, mean, drunk and depressed. Let's just all get drunk and depressed.
I love that song. And I saw a clip of you on YouTube performing that song and saying that you want to work on Heroes too, but
yeah,
you have to collect more people who've disappointed you, though.
So if anyone wants to call, or if anyone has ideas or for me for Heroes too, and they can be more modern too.
Yeah. So if you want to do that, if you want to participate in some other way in the show too, we are live here in the afternoon, 860-275-7266. If you're listening at 8 o'clock at night, that means it's a repeat. You should be on your way to the Outer Space anyway, where she's playing tonight. 860-275-7266. Either to nominate somebody for the Heroes 2 song, and I guess you'll have to write these down, you know, if we get any nominations. And do you have to carry a notebook around with you just in case somebody disappoints you? You don't want to forget.
Yeah, and also, like, I will appeal to the local audiences. So I remember that a couple years ago when I was in Wisconsin and you'd mentioned Brett Favre.
Oh, yeah.
That got big.
Well, Wisconsin's very divided about Brett Favre.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's drunk and depressed, but you could have.
No, they were bummed out.
They were bummed out, yeah. So there's so many things that I want to talk about. One of the things that Kayon is alluding to in her intro is you do have seem to have kind of a fascination, if two songs can equate to a fascination, with a kind of lost 60s icon. You have one song about Joey Heatherton. You have another about Bobby Gentry. You recently met Charo at a baggage claim.
She was fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, tell us about Charo.
Well, Charo, she looked like Charo from my childhood. I don't know. She's either a pack with the devil or the best plastic surgeon you've ever met. But she had her guitar with her, and I'm sure people come up to her all the time and say, oh, I remember you from The Tonight Show. And I was like, what guitar are you playing? I'm a big fan of your guitar playing. So automatically she opened up, and she took lessons from Segovia.
I saw that on your blog, actually.
I know,
yeah.
And she just wanted to talk about guitar, and she was also saying how that's really what she loved, and she realized the only way, as a woman back then, she had to do the coochie-coochie. So there was something, we kind of had a deep conversation.
Yeah.
And I wish, I've got to figure out, I wish I would have taken her number, because on my next record, I so want her to be the lead guitar player.
That would be very cool.
Wouldn't that be great?
Either that or you have to write a Charo song. Maybe she's too big to encompass in one song.
Right. That's actually great to write a Charo song.
Write a Charo song. That would be the third part of the triad: Joey Heatherton, Bobby Gentry,
and maybe the woman. See, these are you can't get away from your early childhood, especially TV years.
Right.
What about a song about the secretary who was in Mannix?
Peggy. Peggy? Was her name Peggy?
Yes.
I get her mixed up with Susan Jane James as Peggy Maxwell on The Name of the Game.
Right.
But I think Peggy was also the name of the woman who was on
That would be
Mannix.
A really obscure... I don't know if that
would
hit too
many people. I like the idea of the Mannix one, too, because at a certain point, somehow or other, you'd want to segue into... Anyway.
One of the best theme songs ever, Lalo Schifrin.
Yeah, Lalo Schifrin, exactly.
Yeah.
This conversation has probably become inscrutable to 80% of the audience fairly quickly. But now I'm about to tell you something even more inscrutable, but it's something that I have to share with you, all right? I discovered this man today over the course of doing research for the show. There's a person there's a person named Al Schultz who did makeup for television for years, and we worked on a lot of the big shows. And he did makeup for Charo, Bobby Gentry, and Joey Heatherton. It's on his resume. And it turns out he worked on the Carol Burnett Show, and he wound up marrying Vicki Lawrence. So there. That just says Jill Sobule to me somehow or other. Your mind
can
is
I
blown.
Leave right now?
That's right.
She
has to lie down and have a glass of water and just sort of kind of digest that piece of information. We want you to play a bunch of songs here. But before we get to that, since we're talking about the past, I'm curious to know what kind of music was playing in your house before you had a lot of say in it. Like when you were a little girl and maybe, you know, you weren't the person who was in control of the hi-fi.
Well, what was great was I have a brother who's 7 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So I had cool music
as
opposed to the teeny bopper music. So I'm trying to remember my parents, they had the Ramsey Lewis records, you remember? And they had that kind of like 60s in-crowd kind of music. Mm-hmm. And also West Side Story. There was some musicals, and I still love that.
It's in my notes that I feel like listening to your music that you had to ambiently have been hearing Rodgers and Hammerstein and Jerome Kern and the Gershwins, and I'll throw Bernstein in there now that you say West Side Story, just because there's a real commitment to melody in your songs, melody that kind of... I think American melody has its wellsprings in those composers, those American songbook composers. I just felt like you had to be hearing that stuff as a kid.
I think you can't get, it's that first stuff that you listen to. Mm-hmm. And the Mannix theme song.
Mannix theme song, I neglected that as an American masterpiece, but it is one.
And the other thing, it was a masterpiece, but I remember one of the first records I asked for was the Hair soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a really good story about that, is that my mom was playing Mahjong, by the way, with her friends. And I don't know how old I must have been, but I had one of the close and play things, and I'm listening to Hair, and there's the one that has, I don't think I can say the words, the Sodom and Gomorrah song, you know. Just anyway, I'm singing these words out, you know, the clinical words for various sexual acts. Yeah. And I'm singing it at the top of my lungs, and I'm sure my mother rushed in. It, like, they thought it was like the exorcist child or something.
Actually, some of those words have been said on our show. We had a urologist on about 2 weeks ago, went on at some length about one of those words.
Right. So, yeah. So.
You could have said it.
You know the song.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah. So anyway, and of course the Beatles were everything.
Yeah.
When I was, you know, I sent away when I think my first letter ever was to the local radio station for the 40 clues to Paul McCartney's death.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and I went through that whole crisis.
You did.
Well, like who Billy Shears was and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I guess the reason I see this too is that, as I say, there's listening to your music. There is a sense, a real kind of almost kind of classic sense of what a melody is. And I mean, I think maybe we could both agree that All the Single Ladies is a great song, but it doesn't have a great melody, you know. Whereas your music tends to have something that's really kind of identifiable with, I think its roots in sort of what the real nature of song is. And I feel like there almost must be a little voice inside your head going, nope, not good enough. Got to sound like a real song. Got to have.
Yeah, and lately I feel like I'm trying to write for the next record, and I'm not satisfied with myself for. I think I need to go back to melody because I think I've been relying upon lyrics, which is kind of great. But I, as you mentioned it, it's been on my mind that I need to pay attention to my melody because you can get lazy.
Well, sing us a melody. Sing us a little song here.
Would you like something funny or topical or something? What would you like?
Whatever's in your heart, wherever the spirit moves you.
All right. I'm going to sing you a little song.
Sing us a little song. This is Jill Sobule. She'll be in Hamden tonight at the Outer Space.
I'm going to sing you a little song. And this is...
It's Color My World by Chicago. No.
You know, I was thinking of calling my next record, like, Color Me Jill. Like, Color Me Barbara. Mm-hmm. But again, who would get that?
I would.
Thank you. Lucy at the gym, she's there every time I go, and I don't go that often, so she must live at the gym. I stare at her ribs, they show through the spandex, her little legs are working. She's going somewhere. She's climbing up the stairs. And when she reaches the top, her dreams will be there. Lucy at the gym. Lucy on the scale for the third time. Through thick and thin. Lucy's at the gym. She's staring at the clock. And like the second hand, she never stops. She's Lucy at the gym. When she takes a shower, after all the hours, does she have a place to go? Is there someone waiting? Or is Lucy all alone? La 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 la. I'm at the gym, and Lucy's not there. It's got me kind of worried, so I imagine the worst. She made it up to heaven, and when she met Omega, he said, come right in. He said, show you around the gym, everyone's beautiful and thin. And here there's no sins and your life can begin. Lucy at the gym, keep on Lucy. Keep on working, girl. Keep on Lucy. Lucy at the gym.
That's Jill Sobule. That song is Lucy at the Gym, also from Pink Pearl, which I think is where Heroes is from. A very, very poignant song. And I think it's poignant also because almost anybody who works out at any gym or does yoga for long periods of time in a yoga studio, there often is somebody like that that you see. And I've even had the experience of sort of going to the gym management and sort of saying, you know, has anybody talked to that girl or, you know? And sometimes talking to the girl is the wrong thing. There's no right answer a lot of the time, you know. It's just, it's... But the first time I heard that song, I thought, oh, I know that person. And it is, it's heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to take a little break right now. We'll be back with more Jill Sobule. She's here for the whole show. Feel free to call at 860-275-7266, and we will return.
What I do when I said that I'm a singer. She laughs and claps her hands, and then she begins, and she sings, I like to go.
Jill Sobule is excited to hear that Pat Sajak was here in the studio on Monday. But she's not that excited. I mean, she's just, you know, she's got herself under control. All right. So Jill Sobule is here. She's playing at the Outer Space in Hamden tonight and probably somewhere else in the area. Are you going up to Northampton from here? Does he know? Does
anyone next month.
Next month you're
next
in Northampton.
Next month I'm at the Iron Horse. And
all right. So check their schedule. Check the Iron Horse schedule.
Yeah.
Well, it's so exciting to have you here. I wanted to quickly say also that back when I was on AM radio, I discovered Jill Sobule, and I started using her kind of in and out of breaks and Rainy Day Parade, also from Pink Pearl, was a big favorite of ours. And I know that there are people listening now who actually discovered her that way. But I wanted to see how I discovered you. I did not hear or I was not clued into the kind of music, or whatever vehicle people heard, I Kissed a Girl.
Right.
I didn't hear it.
The first kiss.
When we can get into that if necessary. We might have to. But so when I the first time I heard you, I had bought this tribute album to Laura Nyro, and there were some names on it, including yours, that I just didn't know. And so I just want to play a little bit of what I heard because I had to know everything about the person who had done this. So just a little bit of her Stoned Soul Picnic.
Come on, 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 come on. Can you sorry? Can you picnic?
Come on, come on, come on.
Can you sorry? Can you picnic? Come on and stir it down to a Stoned Soul picnic. Stir it down to a Stoned Soul picnic. There'll be lots of time and wine with yellow on the sassafras and moonshine. With yellow on the sassafras and moonshine.
We won't play the whole thing, but first of all, your voice, the first time anybody hears it, is very arresting. It doesn't really sound like anybody else's voice. And then the concept that you had for this song, which is there was almost this kind of slightly whispered confidential singing, like you know about this picnic that other people don't know, and now you're telling me. So many things about it, so many interesting choices. I mean, I just ran out and got a Jill Sobule CD based on that. So... And I obviously wasn't disappointed at all. So, but I want to talk a little bit about other songwriters, and we could maybe start with Laura Nyro. I assume that the reason you're on that tribute album is because her music meant something to you.
Well, they asked me, and I was so excited because, again, as those My brother didn't have those records. That was something I discovered.
Those are
our brother records.
Those are your unhappy older sister record.
And you know what? I go once a year. I'll go through a Laura Nyro binge. Mm. Just and the recordings were so great, and she had a great sense of melody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think it's young female songwriters in that time period. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had Joni, mm-hmm. Laura, and then Carole King.
Yeah. It made me wonder whether you've ever thought, kind of a la Sean Colvin, of doing just a collection of just cover songs. Because you haven't done that many of them. When you do them, they're really interesting. Your approach to them is really interesting.
Yeah. In fact, I was thinking I would love to, while I'm working on this next record, I'd love to do an EP of ones. And I also like doing covers. I mean, that was a real challenge to do Laura Nyro, because I always think, like, I would never do a Joni song. I mm-hmm. would never do, because it just seems like a guy, like, you know, John Doe I work with, he was in mm-hmm. the band X. He does a beautiful, here's this punk mm-hmm. icon that does a beautiful version of A Case of You.
So does Prince. Have you heard Prince's
no,
version?
No, it's a beautiful.
Prince does a beautiful version of Case of You, yeah.
But it's hard because everyone is thinking that, you know, and I was asked to do a Dusty Springfield thing, too. Mm-hmm. And that was hard, too, because, you know, you love the originals.
Yeah.
So I want to think about, again, like Heroes, maybe people have suggestions. But one thing I thought about yesterday, I want to really figure out how to do a good version of is Me and Mrs. Jones.
Wow.
I know, I'm serious. It's such a great song, and I thought it would be so wrong. I was like, once where you don't expect
women
to play.
That's actually a line in the song. We both know
it. No,
it's so wrong.
It is. I just want to do kind of like sexy cheating songs.
Yeah. My concept for you, I don't know why I thought of this. Well, I know why I thought of it, but because I think one of the things that you could do, I think, is take a song that maybe some people have sort of slightly annoyed associations with and turn it into something kind of hip and cool in a new way. For some reason, I'd love to hear the Jill Sobule version of 99 by Toto.
Wow. You know, I don't even know if I could go there to Toto. Toto, but that's an interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, if you did that, then would you have to do Asia, you know, covers?
Well, you could do their Africa and then Steely Dan's Asia. You could just do all continents. And then you could do A Case of You for Canada. An all continents EP cover thing.
That's right. And here's a real loser of a tribute record. Jill Sobule sings prog rock hits. So it's just doing, you know, Emerson, Lake and Palmer and, you know, Dream Theater. You know, just there. That's a real...
There's a thin line between a really terrible idea and a really good idea, and we're right on it right now.
That's terrible.
We're sitting on the line between those two things.
But I need to do more. I love doing cover songs, and I always try to do ones that are a little unexpected.
Yeah. That's why I sort of enjoy the Colvin one, because she picked some pretty odd songs. And that sort of leads to, like, if you were going to do it, rather than picking just odd songs, if you were just going to pick songwriters that you love, like, who would you pick?
Oh, I mean, growing up again, I loved the songwriters for either their... I mean, if you saw my collection, mm-hmm. it'd be so whacked because I would have, I loved R&B and 70s funk big mm-hmm. time. But then I remember the first time hearing a John Prine record and hearing, you know, Sam Stone, there's a mm-hmm. hole in Daddy's arm where all the money goes. Mm-hmm. And thinking how he made something so tragic in this kind of sing-songy, kind mm-hmm. of funny way, and it made it even more tragic. And I thought, I remember as a kid going, I want to write like that or that. Mm-hmm. Or when Joni sang, thinking about the pleasure I'll have some, watching your hairline recede, my vain darling, and thinking mm-hmm. lyrically, that's great. But on the other hand, there were certain songs I didn't care what the lyrics, you know, bring me the mothership.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. So I would have to decide
or
figure out both, either the ones that I think were the great, the Leonard Cohens or the, Parliament Funkadelics.
Well, another thought that I had, and there are some people who listen to this show who anytime we do anything about music immediately say, like, they wanted, there's one particular connection that they want to make, and it was easy with you. All I had to do was say, we're having Jill Sobule, and they said, there's a Todd Rundgren connection. Everybody, there's a group of listeners we have who want to like find the Todd Rundgren connection to anything, but yours is pretty obvious. But I was wondering whether you would do a Todd Rundgren song.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing. Talk about melody.
Yeah.
Todd was...
Starting with We Gotta Get You a Woman, which has a great melody. And which actually you could do a pretty funny version of, I think.
I could do a great song. There's a song he did that he put on a later record that was for a musical, a Joe Orton musical that never happened, called Parallel Lines. Do you know that song?
Oh, yeah, I know the song, yeah.
I think that's so gorgeous.
I think that's been covered once or twice, too. I think one or two people may have covered it, yeah. Can We Still Be Friends is an early one that you could do. It's
Can We Still Be Friends
would be
is
a nice version of.
In fact, I would see if, I would actually see if Todd would do it with me.
There you go. So he produced what? Was it your first CD?
Very first CD.
And how did that happen? You were just...
Well, I was a fan, but you know how there's a difference between fans? I mean, I was a big fan, but then there were Todd heads.
Yes, we know them.
So, yeah, fanatic. Mm. My A&R person at the time on MCA Records. Remember there was an MCA?
I remember MCA Records, yes.
Was a Todd head, and I think basically it was for her to meet him. I was a tool for her to meet him. And I remember she was so intimidated. The first time we met, we talked about the concept, and she was saying, well, I see this, and she kept talking to him. And he told her he had these, like, a pith helmets on a shelf. He says, Susan, just put on the pith helmet and shut up, and she did. It was really...
That's an interesting people-controlling technique.
Put on the pith helmet.
And shut up. Probably only one person can use that, though. Yeah, it's not something you can really... make into a self-help book or something. Although that would be a good title for a self-help book.
Put on the pith helmet and shut up.
Yeah. All right. So rather than dwell on that, though, would you like to do another song for us?
I would like to do another song. And you know, one of the things I've been doing, you've heard of the TED conferences.
Yes, I know. And you've been involved in them. And your mom's been at TED Med.
And TED Med... This last, a couple months ago, they asked me to write a song, I had to come up with that day. And I thought, since there was tons of people, heads of pharmaceutical companies, I couldn't help but come up with a little goofy one here. So let me see if I can. Friends, let me see this. I might have to scroll because it's on my iPad. My friends, they've been so worried because I've been so blue. They want me to see the doctor that they all go to. But I'm a little wary. What if I change? What if I can't write a song when dark clouds fade away? If Edgar Allan Poe had Prozac, he'd look into the sky. Hear the little bluebirds sing, there's always more, there's always more. Van Gogh had Celexa, he might be full of cheer. He would paint by numbers and you know he'd have both ears. If Kafka had Abilify, he'd be satisfied. Turn into a butterfly, perhaps he'd never ride. Modern drugs, modern drugs, modern drugs. If Einstein been on Ritalin, he wouldn't have flunked sixth grade. He wouldn't have had that hairdo and he wouldn't be on that Apple ad. If Casanova was medicated, the ladies he might not have dated. Side effects would not have made him the greatest stud in the land. Modern drugs, modern drugs. If God had been on Xanax, he might have been more chill. We'd still be in the garden without all the shame and guilt. But he made us in his image, if you happen to believe. So maybe there's good reason for a pill and some relief. Modern drugs. Modern drugs.
That is great. And I say that's great. It's not only great on an objective level, but this is actually, this is, you're the first person that I've ever encountered who has the same, I've been asking this question and bringing this up with people for a really long time. Like, you know, would Verdi have written operas if he could go on Lexapro? I mean, I really have. And I've asked some pretty important people, and they always get mad at me and tell me it's a stupid question. Kurt Vonnegut, for example, on stage in front of 2,700 people told me that was a really stupid question.
Serious?
Yeah, yeah.
God, you're the humiliating.
That's nothing, you know. For me, you know, that takes much more to humiliate me. But no, you're the, and you have just put it in a nutshell or a capsule or something, exactly what it is I've been trying to get at. So thank you on a personal level and an objective level. And well, that, yeah, go ahead.
Well, the other thing I was thinking, which I didn't bring up, is that all the multitasking we're doing and all the you know, surfing, and I know I think I'm an addict. I have to go on internet LCD screen rehab. But you think, would Newton, if he was multitasking and had several things going on at the same time, would he have come up with his, you know,
Da Vinci would have been okay with it. Da Vinci was made for 2012. He would have been fine. But Newton, yeah, maybe the focus wouldn't have been there.
It's just interesting to think.
You know, speaking of capsules and medication, one of the many things that you can point to, by the way, we're visiting with Jill Sobule. You can call at 860. People call and they put their little questions on the screen and then they hang up. They get very impatient. 860-275-7266. Stay on the line for longer than 5 minutes. 860-275-7266. And put on your jetpack and get ready to go see her tonight in Hamden at the Outer Space. One of the many things that you can point to with pride in your life is that you have been part of a museum exhibit of stupid censorship. Is that what it was called? Dumb censorship?
Yeah.
Something like that? Anyone want to tell that story?
At the museum in Washington, D.C., which is a great museum. When I had Happy Town Record and I had a friend do the artwork for it, and I wanted a kind of a Saul Bass. He was the guy that did the graphics for the James Bond, the man with the golden arm, and... and I had these two like golden arm hands holding a Prozac capsule and pouring the contents out on the city. So the record label was fine, and then Walmart said that they would not sell it because, first of all, that it was, you know, showing drug use, you know, which was something that they sell, you know, like, and that they thought that the white granules looked like cocaine coming out. Who was the sick person that saw that? So I had to change it to two kind of test tubes.
Which I don't even get why that solves the problem. Where do they think street drugs come from? I mean, they're probably mixed in test tubes, aren't they? But yes, I saw the substitute cover.
It makes no sense at all.
It doesn't really solve the problem.
But you know, I thought, okay, you know, there was pressure. I thought I'd do it. But since then, I've used the real cover.
I didn't realize that was supposed to be a Saul Bass kind of. I didn't get that joke, actually, when I saw the cover. But then it throws me back into James Bond culture, and I start thinking about all those songs, too, which could also
What was your favorite one?
Well, I feel as though the one that I'm internally fascinated by is You Only Live Twice, because Nancy Sinatra is not a great singer, but there are 100 other versions of that song that are not as good. And there's something about the lush John Barry orchestration, you know, this fabulous, deep, drenching orchestration. And then there's Nancy... you know, Sinatra with her kind of affectless, you know, pre-Prozac, Prozac voice.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And I don't know why, but it is just, you know, it's mesmerizing.
No,
I never
right.
tire
that was
of
a good
listening.
One. And it was
tired.
The antithesis of the Shirley Bassey kind of.
Right.
I thought about the Bond themes because were you a Madman watcher?
Yes.
So the very last episode had was it the last one or the one before it had?
It was the last episode. I'm being told in my headphones. Kion Wolf's brother was on Mad Men and came back this year as the Hare Krishna guy with a ponytail.
So great. Yeah. So great. Yeah. So they had actually the Herb Albert Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Which is, we love that one. And then there was, what was the other one that they had?
Don't
they
remember.
They ended it with.
But, oh, that's right. They did. They ended it with that. Yeah.
They ended it with a Bond.
Yeah. It might have been Nancy. I think it might have been Nancy. It was Nancy, I think. It was You Only Live Twice. I did hear an interview with John Barry where he talked about how, I think it was Shirley Bassey first recorded when she recorded Goldfinger. And then Tom Jones had to do Thunderball. Did he do Thunderball? I think he did Thunderball. And he was asking what the song meant. and I think he even called Shirley Bassey. She said, it doesn't matter. Don't think about that. You can't think about what it means. Just sing it. Those were the great days of music.
And I have a very soft spot for Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die is great.
It's great.
A little bit of a preposition problem.
Yeah.
In the ever-changing world in which we live in. Yeah. If the ever-changing world in which we live in. Sir Paul, he wasn't, you know. He wasn't a grammarian.
No.
All right. Jill Sobule is visiting with us. It seems a shame to have a treasure like her sitting here and not have her singing a song or two more. So before we go to our next break, let's have, would you like to do one more song or two more songs?
Sure.
Before you go?
I heard you mention the jetpack and so.
Yeah, that was, you know, intentional.
And I'm going to do it. And just to let people know, it was when I was living in Brooklyn and seeing someone on the Upper West Side and that... Knowing being in New York, that's just not worth it.
Right.
Right.
Unless you had a jetpack.
Exactly. If I had a jetpack, the first thing that I'd do is fly above the gridlock and come to you. Peek into the windows on Fifth Avenue to see how the other side lives. And if I had a jetpack, I would strap it on. I'd get out of this one room and I'd be gone to where there's real houses and big front yards. If I had a jetpack, I'd take you up with me. At last we'd both be free past the Statue of Liberty in my jetpack. If I had a jetpack, fly above the bridge, I'd wave to all my friends who thought I'd never rise again. I'd fly over the stadium to watch my team win. Watch my team win. And if I had a jetpack, bust into your door, I'd take you by the hand to the Jersey Shore. And underneath the moonlight, you'd want me even more, 'cause I'd have a jetpack. I'd take you up so high, if I dropped you, you would die. But I want you by my side in my jetpack. Jetpack, I don't even have a car. I just have this token in a head full of stars. I wish you didn't live uptown so far, 'cause I don't have. No, I don't have a jet.
Oh, love that song. And that was an especially lovely version, an affecting version of it, too. Thank you so much, Jill Sobule.
Thank you. I have the morning voice, so it was like, as I was at the very end, it was like, am I going to go high? Am I going to pick a note that's a little lower and pretty? And I did that one.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to risk it.
I once on the radio asked Mel Torme to sing with me, and it was 10:30. I just wanted to sing like, you know.
You asked Mel Torme to sing with
four
you?
Four bars, so I could say that I sang with. I am actually now going to have my Wikipedia entry altered to say, And in 2012, he and Jill Sobule sang the Mannix theme song. Because I feel like that's a big moment in my life right now. But I mean, that was, but I imagine asking a jazz singer to sing with you at you know, 10:30 in the morning. That was a cruel thing.
Did he do it?
He did, but he wasn't happy about it. All right, we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back. We've got so much more to cover and nowhere near enough time. Make your plans to go to the outer space in Hamden tonight where Jill Sobule is going to be. We'll be back.
Here I am in a Utah motel, and Barbara Feldon is 99 miles away, and Ambien's not helping me sleep. Tweet me, #99. No, this isn't working. Patrick, could you just cue the regular music? Today's show was produced by me and Patrick Scahill, with help from John Healy and Chelsea Edgar. Tonight on the Chelsea Edgar Show on VH1, special guest Jenna Elfman and Seal. The part of Bill Curry was played by Dean Martin. Tomorrow, the nose wonders if it saw Gilbert Gottfried's head on Game of Thrones. And now, back to Colin.
Yeah, I don't know if you followed this, but it did come out on Game of Thrones, which I'm quite addicted to. Occasionally, people's heads are on pikes, and it's unfortunate, and it happens. Happens a lot on Game of Thrones. Well, apparently in some of the sort of crowd head-on pike shots, one of the heads they use is a replica of George W. Bush's head, which they put like a black wig on or something like that.
And people were really upset.
They had to apologize. Game of Thrones has now apologized. All of the Jonas Brothers' heads are also on pikes, and nothing's been said about that so far. So the scandal's still unfolding. I think CNN's going to do an hour about it tonight. All right, Jill Sobule's here with us. You know, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is the fact that in many respects, I think you also, you stand for a singer-songwriter who's, you've kind of reinvented a lot of the jobs of being a singer-songwriter, whether it's, I mean, you kind of did Kickstarter before there was Kickstarter. I saw you do an amazing concert with Julia Sweeney where she did monologues and you did songs. You've done stuff with Arianna Huffington and the Huffington Post. You've probably done an NPR Tiny Desk concert. I know you were doing those Bryan Park things. I mean, there's a lot of different things that a songwriter can do these days that weren't around to do 20, 25 years ago. I guess there's also a lot of things that a singer-songwriter has to do, too, to sort of stay vital and involved and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, you can't rely on the old, you know, it used to be my life was hopefully you had a record deal, and mm-hmm. you'd tour, and then you'd do the whole thing over again, and now you can't really rely on that, and I think that's a really good thing.
Mm-hmm.
To do
it forces you to rethink what anything is, you know, like watching you and Julia Sweeney do this thing. I saw you do it up at Affinity Hall in Norfolk a couple of years ago or a year and a half ago, and I was thinking, well, I've never seen a concert like this, because I don't think anybody ever did this. Two people, one tells stories, the other sings songs. But I mean, it was, you sort of rethought what a concert could be,
right? And it was also an excuse. I found out Julia lived two blocks away from me, and it was an excuse for us to just hang out. And yeah. and it was, you know, we're still trying to figure out how to put that on a, our fantasy would be to have a little series, mm-hmm. where we just, she's hysterical. She could, yeah. You just go on the road with her and she just has story after story.
Well, it was really funny, although you're really funny too, and you kind of had to, you sort of outsourced the talking part.
Right.
So we didn't get to hear as many
right.
Jill Sobule stories. So right. that, in that way, it was limiting, but in other ways, it was probably liberating.
Yeah, it was so easy for me. She had to do all the work. I just sat back and sang a couple songs.
And speaking of different things that you could do, I noticed on the Huffington Post that you've already started planning your memorial service. First of all, talk about your involvement with Huffington Post. I don't think you've done anything for them terribly recently, but you've actually done something with Arianna Huffington, right?
Oh, yeah. She had me write theme songs to a couple of her books, like mm-hmm. Fearless and Right is Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever, and I should do it more, but whenever I have a topical song, I just can, anytime I can post mm-hmm. on it. And I actually should, there's a lot of things to write about these days.
We've got computers here. When you're done, you can just sit down and bang something out and send
something to her. Yeah. So because it's always great to have when you write a song that's topical, and it may not be the following week. It might be past its time. There's a place for me to post.
Yeah. Hey, we're almost out of time, but we probably have about 3 minutes left. Do you want to do one more song? I'd like to do another song. Yeah, all right.
Also, the one thing I've been doing is I've worked on a couple musicals.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a song for this one called Times Square. Do you remember a terrible movie called Times Square? It was a Robert Stigwood.
Oh, I do remember.
But it was
this,
a great story, but it was, it had a great soundtrack. It was like late 77, 78 had, the Ramones. And anyway, but it was about Times Square. And this was pre Giuliani. And this is one of the songs. And there's a part where I'm going to have every one of you guys sing 25 cents. So when I go, ba 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 ba, you'll know it. You guys go 25 cents.
And just make sure you do.
25 cents. You guys there?
Yeah, we're there. They're there.
Do you guys want to come up closer? Yeah. Come on.
Just make sure you do the 3 minute version of this song or we won't have time to say goodbye.
The end is near. Okay, let me put this up on a little capo really quick here. The end is near. The signs are clear. The alley cats have disappeared. They foresee the wrecking balls. Our sacred halls, they all will fall. A big farewell to this noble booth. Take my headphones off and raise my glass to Hotspur Massacre Double Pleasure. 25 cents. 25 cents. My cup of coffee at the Howard Johnson's. 25 cents. 25 cents. The peep show lovelies at the Pussycat Palace. 25 cents. 25 cents. They're coming here to cleanse our souls with dynamite blasts leaving deep, deep holes. Say goodbye to your dealer, your pimps and freaks. There's real folks now coming through our streets. Say goodbye to a world of fun, shocking violence. For 25 cents, 25 cents. Put a quarter in the slot and your dreams come true. 25 cents, 25 cents. Live, 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 triple X. The boy on the corner in his Maryland dress. The warmth in the subway, it's getting colder. This junkyard dog beats a little slower. They're telling me which songs to play. It's time for me to just fade away. Hotspur Massacre Double Pleasure. 25 cents, 25 cents. A cup of coffee at the Howard Johnson's. 25 cents, 25 cents.
We need to get more choral on that somehow. Yeah.
It's also about a DJ. It's the DJ song.
Huh.
It's your song.
I never was legitimately a DJ, but Heatherton was. Dickie Heatherton, brother of Joey Heatherton.
Wow.
Yeah, here in Connecticut. All right, this has been so great. We are absolutely out of time. Jill Sobule will be at the Outer Space in Hamden. I can't stress that enough. It'll be tonight. If you go there tomorrow night, she won't be there. If you were there last night, she wasn't there. Tonight, the Outer Space, Hamden. Go there. Thank you so much. It's like having a friend to visit or something.
I wish all radio was like this, and it really isn't.
No, for the most part. No, it definitely is not
like
this.
It's not, yes.
We hear
you.
That a lot, actually. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with The Nose.
Gonna be a supermodel.
I'm Kyone Wolf, and I just want to say thanks to Jill Sobule for coming into our studios and for giving me permission to play some of her songs when I used to play out. And actually, I never asked for permission. I'm sorry, Jill. Thanks. Sorry.